With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Ocho says trade up for Matthew Golden after that 4-2-9. Todd, the show says that Jerry Rice ran a 4-7-1. I could care less about wide receiver time. Well, if you could care less, you would care less. You couldn't care less, Todd, the show.
Nope. Ball's on line one.
That's true.
To give you,
it's a pet peeve of mine.
Your flowers.
If you could care less, then you would care less. The line is couldn't care less because that is the minimum amount of care. I do sound like MLA Paul, though. How annoying that guy was. Texture says Lance lost his mind. Harry the driver, gym rat, fight for yards, sneaky athletic, coach on the field, first in, last out, rolls up his sleeve and goes to work, more quick than fast, high ball IQ, great locker room guy. Am I missing any for white football player?
I think you checked most of the boxes there, yeah.
I said Google Peyton Hillis, Mike Allstott, and Toby Gerhart.
Yeah, white running backs.
Christian McCaffrey.
Toby Gerhart saved a couple of lives recently. That's probably what you would find on him. His kids were drowning, and he went into the ocean and saved them. Almost died. Yeah. He was in, like, critical condition. I think spent a few days in the hospital. He's a hero. He's a real hero.
Peyton Hillis was the one that wanted Adrian Peterson money after one good year and didn't get it.
Don't blame him.
Didn't do anything with it.
He's also graced the cover of Madden.
That's right.
Peyton Hillis did. Browns uniform. Texture, if the Texans make one significant free agent signing, is it offensive line? If you only gave me one significant free agent signing, I would be hopeful that it is offensive line. That's fair. I would say that. I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah, I just feel like that is, you know, the utmost importance. We said that, I personally have said offensive line, and I think everything would be a distant second, and I get now that wide receiver with the injuries is a little bit more of a priority, but I just feel like, yeah, you've got to go and do whatever you can to protect your quarterback first and foremost.
I'm honestly thinking it's none of the above. Maybe that's me setting the bar low, so I'm not disappointed when it becomes none of the above, but given their cap situation, I know it went up, but you know it's still relative to the rest of the league. They don't have the ability to compete with a lot of teams. I kind of think that we're going to look back and see an off season like we've seen before last year, where it's signing Dalton Schultz to 1 year, signing Devin Singletary to 1 year, like a lot of quality veterans on these short term deals. But I don't think we're going to see the big splash move like Nick Caserio went to last.
Let's repackage the question for MLA Brian.
Okay.
The most significant free agent acquisition the Texans make. You want it to be what position?
Offensive line.
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement there. And that probably is the better way to package the question because I agree with you. I don't think we're going to see the Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs, big moves. I mean, you can even throw Azeez Al-Shaair into the mix as a big offseason splash a year ago. I don't think that the Texans are positioned to do that this offseason. And I think that's why John Hickman, according to his sources, is saying that they're being cap conscious. I don't think that they have that flexibility.
And I think that what they're capitalizing on, too, seemingly so far, is making sure that some of the guys you mentioned, they're taking care of them. Like, I don't know if they're going to take care of Autry because evidently he wants an extension, and I don't think they're even in that level of thought yet.
Autry does?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, yeah, I'm not on that.
Yeah, and you know, they already were, other people were already talking about him being a cap casualty, that they might let him go to try and recoup some funds to do some things. So, whether Autry stays or goes, you can deal with it because you got two really good pass rushers and you had good backups last year. But they got to keep the guys in house. You got to keep out, you know, you got Al Shaair. You've got to figure out who you're going to keep on your D line, especially because Foley's free and he played well. So they've been really focused on trying to hopefully get guys that love what they're building, that love, you know, everything about the culture in the locker room, that are willing to, you know, to give them a deal if you get a couple of years in the contract standpoint, and then figure out, what can I do to go get that kind of player we're talking about? Because I think that the linemen are coming from free agency. I don't think they're coming in the draft that are going to be helping next season.
Texters are saying that it was Peyton Hillis that saved the kids. Were we not talking about Peyton Hillis? Did I confuse my white running backs?
You said Toby
Gerhardt.
I named
them both. Yeah. I named them both.
I think you said Toby Gerhardt.
I meant Peyton Hillis. That's my bad. Look at me. I'm such a racist. I think that all white running backs are the same. That's despicable.
And I'm Mexica.
Brandon T, I saw an article suggesting the Texans should give up a third-round pick for DK Metcalf. Cool. Yeah, do it. That's not going to get it done. But if you can get DK Metcalf for a third, yes, I would run to the phone and be like, yes, let's send in the email. But yeah, I don't think a third gets it done.
The Green Bay offer was their first and one of the receivers on their roster. So that's where it starts. Like, if you want to get in on the DK Metcalf sweepstakes, regardless of the fact that you have to factor in how much he's making too, it's probably going to take a one and a player.
But you don't even really have the player, though, is the problem. Because, like, obviously you're not trading Nico, and right now your other guys are Mechie and Hutch. Like, so even if you offer
it would
the
have
first,
to be at a different position.
Yeah, you don't even have the player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them being... I could see them, like, having some sort of interest in Mechie. I mean, yeah. He was a former second.
Moves the needle at all?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I wouldn't say it moves the needle, but, like, it's a body.
It's a throwing
body that plays football and runs around and does things. It was okay. A former second rounder.
Texture, what a ceiling.
Trade up and try to grab Ginty or Hunter. They're not going to trade up and try to grab Travis Hunter. No. Ginty's more likely because I think Ginty has a chance to drop outside, like, the top 10, 15. Travis Hunter's going top 5. Nope. So it makes it easier to trade for a top 10 or a guy outside of the top 10, outside of the top 15 than it does for a top 5. Obviously.
I think you're right that Ginty could slide, but right now most people have him in the top 12.
Yeah, but it's easier to trade for the 12th pick than it is the 3rd pick.
Sure, sure, sure. And so, look, you're not getting Hunter. That's just a given.
I don't think you're getting either one. It was Peyton Hillis who saved kids. Yeah, again, my fault. I got my white guys confused. Texter, 40 times are overrated to an extent. John Ross, Henry Ruggs, Mecole Hardman, take the best receiver, period. If you trade up, taking McMillan is the move. That's the Arizona kid. I do like McMillan. I saw his comps were Drake London. Not the fastest dude in the world, but fast enough, quick enough, long, high points the football. 40 times I do think are a bit overrated. I would agree with the texture there.
Yeah, I mean, look, Nick proved that last year with Lassiter. I mean, it's one thing to say, what do you run in tights? And it's another thing to say, what do you run? What's your football speed in pads?
Yeah. And Xavier Worthy was solid, good. As a rookie.
But boy, he nailed it with Lassiter when everybody said he was too slow.
Yeah, different position, though. Like, I mean, I think it's an apples to orange comparison. I think that general take, I agree with you. I think 40 times very overrated. I think it's a little bit more significant at receiver than other positions. But there are plenty of dudes who set the world on fire with their 40 times and can't catch a cold. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you, but I would say receiver a little bit more important. Key from L.A., start drafting country-fed white guys to shore up that offensive line. Texter, do y'all think the Texans should take a shot at Slay? How do you feel about that, Darius Slay?
I think he wants to go to Detroit. I think Detroit is probably going to go back and get him because of the fact that, you know, that with their defense, I think they could use another corner. But I wouldn't touch Slay at this point. I think your corners are fine. I think if you want to get, like we talked about, if you want to get a slot corner or you want to get another an outside guy, I think there's going to be some guys that you could choose from, whether it be draft or free agency, where you probably don't have to overpay and you don't have to go get Slay with what he's probably still going to be demanding at this point in his career.
Not this offseason. I'm cool with the idea of corner maybe next offseason when you could potentially lose Petrie, but you're kind of – full, like you're kind of rich with secondary players. Like your starters are set. You have Stingley and you have Kamari. Jalen Petrie is going to be your nickel, and then Reed and Bullock are going to be your safeties. So like, there's not really a need there now. You know, depth and things like that. But Slay's not a depth piece. He's going to be looking to start. Tyler and Conroe. It seems to be easier to find a good receiver in the draft than a good offensive lineman. Sign a proven O-line free agent. Agree with you there, Tyler. I'm convinced that guys that are high on Hunter have low football IQ. saying people that are high on Travis Hunter are low as Tui. In the NFL, you want a master of a craft, not a jack of all trades. Now, I would push back and say I think that Travis Hunter can be a master at corner. I think you're selling his coverage skills short there, Tyler.
I completely agree. Like I said, I've heard multiple draft experts say that the two like transcending players in this draft are Carter and Travis Hunter. And when you look at it, the fact that we're sitting there trying to figure out, is he going to be more primarily a defensive back or a wide receiver? But most people believe he could play either one in the NFL. That means he's got more than enough talent.
Yeah, listening to Lance talk about him, he I think absolutely buys the hype for Travis Hunter being easily a first-round corner. Where he questions him is the overall development of his talent at wide receiver. So I think it's not so much that it's, you know, anyone that likes Travis Hunter doesn't know ball. It's just I think the realization is that he has to play corner. Like, you hear Lance talk about him. He doesn't get off press well, underdeveloped route tree. So I think there's a lot more room that he needs to make up a wide receiver. But he could certainly play in the NFL at corner.
Yeah, I think he'll be good at corner. If you had the first pick and didn't need a quarterback, who you taking? I would take Abdul. What about you guys?
Yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. I think
that
he just is. Yeah, even when he had one arm in the college football playoffs, you could see that he could be dominant. That's an easy one.
He might only have one foot now, though.
I hear that.
I hope he falls to 25. I think 40 time matter the most for linebackers. Sideline to sideline speed is huge for defense. Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think it all matters. But like, what if that linebacker is really soft and doesn't like to tackle? Well, he's not a good football player. Which speaks, I think, overall to the 40 time being overrated. Might be worth it to sign a couple of Australian rugby players to the offensive line. It's not a bad idea. Let's see what the Sabercats have. I thought Brandon was talking about Mike Austin. Yeah, maybe. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Nick, you're in the Hive. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. How we doing today? I just had a question for you guys. I'm trying to figure out, you know, the offensive line seems to be the main issue, right? I've been watching the Texans for as long as, you know, they've been around. And just looking at these past 2 years, I don't understand. The offensive line in CJ's rookie year, they were able to hold pressure, and then they couldn't run the ball. And then fast forward to 2024, with the same personnel, the same scheme, same coaches, we flip-flop, and we can't block anybody on the pass rush, but we can run the ball. So I just what do you guys think was the difference on this last year to the year before on the offensive line?
I mean, look, I think there's a lot of things that you can look at. I think it starts with the fact that Shaq kind of fell off the planet. I mean, you're not expecting a guy. Yeah, he's a veteran, but you know, you're expecting a guy that has been a very, very solid above average offensive lineman in this league, and he was awful. He was really, really bad all season long. So that's your right guard. And then you're kind of stuck between two guys that you drafted that have the versatility to play center and left guard, but they keep going back and forth, and neither one of them have the experience or the ability to do at center and or at guard that you kind of want them to do. And that's where it starts. And then you know, look at Kenyon Green getting hurt, but also being a huge disappointment. Laramie was good. He had moments, but he was good. And then, you know, because you were forced to move Titus, now you're starting a guy that was supposed to not even really play that much this year that you were grooming to be your right tackle down the road, and you had to throw him into the mix. So it's not that's a, you know, a complete science where that's everything, but that played a big role in it.
Yeah, I would dumb it down and just say that I think they were poorly coached, and I think that they were poorly motivated, like as an offensive line. I think they had bad scheme. I think it became poorly coached with Chris Strauser, which is weird because I thought he did a good job the year prior, like patching all that together. But he did a terrible job last season, and then I think that the offensive line was kind of like, you know, just playing ball. Like, I don't know how big of dogs they were. It's hard to explain because the players that they played 2 years ago outperformed the players that they played last year.
Yeah.
And there is no reason for that. So why did that happen? Poorly coached, poor scheme, poor execution.
Like, yeah,
how do you
think,
fix
look,
it is the question.
Whether you want to put it just on the line coach or the line coach and Slowick, but I just don't think that they were coached enough, and maybe they weren't coached hard enough, and we'll never know that, like you always say, but at the same time, it just seems like there were things that offensive-minded people, especially guys that focus on the O-line, you could, whether you change something schematically, and or with just kind of the teaching methods, there were things you could have cleaned up and done better to make the line more productive that just didn't happen all season long.
Yep. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's make mock drafts great again with Lance Zierlein's greatest and latest mock. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's make mock drafts great again. And today we look at Lance's mock, where Lance Zierlein has the Texans trading up to number 16. He doesn't talk about what the trade would look like. Texans are currently at 25. We know that Nick Caseri likes to move. He likes to trade up. He likes to trade down. He's a Will and Dylan son of a gun. Would you rather the Texans trade up or trade down?
I would rather them trade down and get extra picks.
I'm with you on that. Let's see. Let's use the Jimmy Johnson draft chart, which is, you know, kind of what the NFL teams use, kind of. They all have their own system. But if the Texans were to trade from 25 to 16, let's see what they would need to give up. 25 has 221 points. 16 has 259. So they would need to figure out a way to give 38 points of value. 38 points of value? That's like a seventh rounder? That can't be right. The team wouldn't do that.
It needs to be modernized.
Modernized. Like, what would it take to move up nine spots? Maybe like a third?
I think or it like needs to be more than that, a future second.
I'm thinking third at the very, very best.
Yeah, the very least you could give up would be a third.
I would be pretty gross to give up a future second to move up nine spots in this draft. I would not like that at all.
I don't like that.
Even a third I don't feel great about.
I would do a third.
In this year's draft or next year's?
This year's. No, yeah, or either. It really wouldn't bother me. Now, I mean, it would obviously be dependent upon who's there. I wouldn't want to do it for someone I didn't like. But if it's, you know, and we'll talk about some of these names in a minute, but if it's a guy you're convinced is the guy at a position you need, then I would make the move if it was a third. But no more than that.
Yeah, I'd rather trade down and get more picks. I just think there's going to be plenty of wide receivers down at the bottom of the first round that you can do that with, as opposed to giving something up and then being like that Vikings pick, which actually turned out better than I thought it was going to because I thought the Vikings were going to suck. But I don't want to give up a future pick that might turn into something that, you know, would be a valuable pick.
Yeah, but Diggs didn't do what you wanted him to do.
Right.
Both sides of that trade didn't really live up to the expectation because you thought that, you know, that Minnesota second would be like a top 50, top 45 pick. And then, hindsight 2020, you didn't count on Stephon Diggs getting hurt. But then also, like, Debo goes for a fifth. I know Diggs is a better player than Debo is. Like, Diggs was a better football player last offseason than Debo currently is. But, like, that second round pick felt like it was a lot at the time. It felt like it was a lot at the overpay. And then whenever they redid his contract, and then certainly once he got hurt, hindsight 2020, it felt like a lot as well. Mm-hmm. And then it's probably going to feel like a lot again whenever he signs with somebody else. Should he sign with somebody else? Now, here's something to consider this year. The Texans currently only have six picks this year. They have a first, second, third, fourth, all theirs. They have a fifth from Buffalo, and they have their own seventh rounder. Nick Caserio's kind of like he always has a number that he wants to get to. He might trade up, he might trade down, but there's always that number he wants to get to. I don't think with six picks, Nick Caserio's trading up, especially when you're thinking maybe an offensive lineman, maybe a receiver, maybe a running back. That's even before we talk about anything else. I don't sense that this is a trade up into the first round draft for Nick. I think he'll trade down, actually. I predict he's going to trade down from 25. Now, I think he'll trade up in other spots, like in the middle of the draft, but I don't see him going up. But all we can do is play the cards that were dealt, right? So we're using Lance's mock today. Let's look at some critical picks here. He goes, he has Abdul Carter going number one to Tennessee, Travis Hunter two to Cleveland, Cam Ward number three to the Giants. McMillan, top receiver off the board, goes number five. Will Campbell, who did have a great combine, I read, falls number seven to number seven for the Jets. Ginty goes 12 to Dallas. That'd be a sexy pick.
I can see that. Yeah, I really see that.
That'd be a sexy pick. Dallas has drafted well over the years, and they've actually Like outside of CeeDee Lamb, have kind of stayed away from like the sexy pick. But we'll see. But so anyways, so the Texans trade up to 16. He has them drafting Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive lineman from Texas. The next three picks, which is how we're going to make our selections, Tyler Warren goes 17, Penn State tight end. Matthew Golden, Ocho's guy, former Cougar, Klein Kane, great, goes number 18 to Seattle. Longhorn. And then Tampa Bay, number 19, takes James Pierce Jr., the edge from Tennessee. So we have our option blankers of Banks, Warren, Golden, Cougar, and Pierce. Which of the four are you selecting?
I just strictly from need am going with Golden. I love the idea of upgrading tight end. I really, really do. I don't think they need an edge rusher. I think it would be between the tight end and the wide receiver, and the greater need right now for me is at wide receiver because you need a starter and you still have Schultz as tight end. So I'm going to go with Golden.
I'd be happy with three of these picks. I'd be happy with Banks because I do think Banks is going to be good. And we actually, the draft we used the other day, which was Daniel Jeremiah, I think, he was our pick at 25. Like, he went all the way down to 25. Tyler Warren intrigues me, especially with Nick Kaley, but I think 16 is a little bit too high to take Tyler Warren because I don't think you get the financial savings of drafting a tight end that high. And Matthew Golden would be fun because now you have two Houston Cougar receivers in that room. He's very, very fast. I think he takes the top off the defense. This one's – James Pierce is out for me just because we don't have that bias. I'll go Matthew Golden.
All right. Well, I will be a little different here. I wouldn't hate it if they went Matthew Golden, but if you're telling me either fixing the offensive line or they're fixing wide receiver, I'd rather them fix offensive line, especially since I feel better about their wide receiver options possibly in the second round. So I would go Kelvin Banks Jr., moving regard. You got your five starters on the offensive line, but presumably, and then figure out wide receiver later in the draft.
But you're not worried about the fact that his...
I'm worried about both positions, but you can only take one
here. But his inability to draft has been clearly offensive lineman.
Yeah, I guess it's just I believe in Kelvin Banks. I haven't watched him, obviously, playing the Big 12 in the SEC the last 4 years. And he's been great. Look, he could miss. I mean, people are obviously high on the offensive lineman he's missed on in the last couple years. But I believe Kelvin Banks Jr. is going to be a pretty good pro.
We had a lot of people that watched a lot of A&M film that believed that Kenyon Green was going to be there.
But I mean, what are we going to say though? That Matthew Golden's a lock? I don't think he's a lock. I mean, this is a weak wide receiver draft. He was not a first rounder last year.
They've had a propensity for doing well drafting wide receivers.
Yeah, but we're not Nick Caserio. We're just giving our opinion. Like that. I mean, if Nick Caserio drafted him, that doesn't turn him into a good player.
No, but at the same time, I'm cringeworthy at the Texans' ability to draft linemen, whereas I have confidence in them drafting wide receivers, they need a wide receiver more. I think they can get offensive linemen free agency or trades. I just think that you're, and I think they need veterans on the O-line.
You all done arguing?
Yeah.
Man, I was hoping that'd go on for a while. I was enjoying it.
I can make it go longer. I thought you'd cut us off, though.
I didn't say anything. I was silent. What do you mean
I know, but usually if I keep going on, like, oh, TLDR.
Only whenever you get onto the monologue.
Okay.
Whenever you are going back and forth, I enjoy the heck out of it. I'm probably on Blanker's side here. I want a receiver more in the first round than an offensive lineman in the first round. And I don't trust your eye test, Brian. I don't trust your eye test.
I mean, that part is fair, but just because of the track record?
No, I see your argument. Like,
this is an exercise. It's a mock draft exercise.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, but I mean, it's probably position bias here. I want a receiver more than I want an offensive lineman, and
really?
I want to spend the money on offensive linemen. So I think that's what swayed my decision as well. Texter trade, and you're right. Like, we don't know. We have no clue. We're idiots. We're jabronis on a microphone. We don't know a darn thing. We've made it very clear we're a show of the dumbs. Trade down for future compensation. Isn't this draft supposed to be one of the weakest drafts ever? I've read how it's very similar talent-wise from, like, pick 17 to about pick 35, pick 40. So I don't know if this draft is, like, you know, I guess it's fair to call it weak. But I just don't think that you're picking a guy at 25 that is much different than a guy at 40. So if you can trade down because a team is, like, in love with a prospect, maybe it's Jackson Dart. I saw Jackson Dart can move to the back end of the first round, and it makes sense for a team that loves a Jackson Dart type to trade into the back end of the first round so they get that extra year of team control on a quarterback. So if somebody loves Jackson Dart and they're offering you, you know, a second and a fourth to move up to draft him, I'm doing that. Because I don't think that you're losing a whole lot of player value whenever you do that, and you're adding a pick in the middle round. So, yeah, I'm in favor of trading down.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be position groups where it's a stronger draft. But I think overall, most people have said, like, a majority of the first-round picks this year would probably be second-round picks next year, with the exception of guys like Hunter and Carter and a few others. And we know that the quarterback pool seems to be weak. So, yeah, I mean, that's why just another reason why I think you can still acquire a quality football player a couple spots down or in the second round, and the extra draft capital is going to help you, and maybe you get it for next year and you get it in a stronger draft.
Yeah, I would say, like, I mean, to the texter's point about trading down in a weak draft, I mean, if we're to believe guys like Matt Miller, who only, I think, had 12 or 14 players graded as first-round pick, then he's telling you players, you know, 15 through, I don't know where it would end, maybe in the 40s, are all kind of graded similar. So if they're all kind of graded similar, they're all globbed together, then there's no sense in not taking extra shots at it. Like, there's, like, if 25 is the same as 36, then just move to 36 and pick up another pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sweetener. And maybe that sweetener's in the future. Maybe that's a future pick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think, and maybe it's a stronger draft. So maybe you take the sweetener that you get and the extra picks you get for next year's draft or two drafts down the line, so that maybe at that point when, you know, you have a stronger draft, you get a better player at that point.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Texter, wide receivers, dime a dozen. We need O-line. So that's B-Max Burner, and then texture to Jalen Milroe throw at the combine. I don't know. Did he throw? I don't think he threw.
I did not hear.
Any chance he goes fourth round or higher? I don't think so. I've heard NFL guys aren't really loving
him. No, they didn't love him. They didn't love him at the Senior Bowl. They were questioning the size of his hands, and then they were talking about the fact that, yeah, he was a tough fit. They were wondering if he'd play another position.
That'd be interesting. I wonder what position he'd play.
I don't know if he'd be like more of a kind of like an H-back.
He's not that tall, you know?
Yeah.
Running back, maybe.
That'd be interesting. 6'2", 215. I wonder if he could play receiver, like a little slot. Julian Edelman on steroids type of deal.
Maybe. Without being on steroids, maybe?
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to our mailbag Monday. What is your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
All right, Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Bees? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Texter said Milroe threw and looked like garbage. That's too bad. Houston kid. There you have it. Ocho asking, who is the bigger swindler, Chandler Parsons or Ben Simmons?
I'm going to say Ben Simmons. I'm going to say Chandler Parsons had the unfortunate microfracture surgery that helped him to not finish his career the way he wanted to. Ben Simmons has no excuses. He just sucks.
You don't think he's had injuries?
Do we know this back thing? Do we know how legit that is?
Do we know how legit Chandler Parsons' microfracture surgery was?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe that's foolish of me.
I think it is.
But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for injuries.
He's still afraid to shoot.
Yeah, I mean, shooting's not 100% of the game.
You know,
Parsons still had some decent years. I mean, you can affect winning without scoring. Parsons had some decent years after he left the Rockets. Like, he averaged 16 a game with Dallas, 14 a game with Dallas, and then he fell off the planet.
And he got more money.
I don't know. This is tough.
I couldn't believe that when he opted out in Dallas, and I'm going, oh, my God, you're stealing money, and you're not that good. And then Memphis gave him more. I was like, oh, that's terrible.
I think it could be Parsons here. I think that it depends on how Ben Simmons finishes his career, though. Like, if Ben Simmons can finish his career kind of like how Grant Hill finished his career, where he was nowhere near the player that he used to be, but he was still productive and solid and was playing in rotations, I think that Simmons could pass Parsons.
I just don't. I think that Grant Hill is a rarity in his ability to at least find it, become better than serviceable with a niche on a team to where he was pretty good for his later in his career. I don't see that in Ben Simmons. He's comfortable. He's got a boatload of cash. He doesn't seem to have a whole hell of a lot of fire burning inside of him to go do anything with intent on the basketball floor. I just don't see it.
I mean, I think you're poo-pooing on you know, 6-6-6 every night.
I'm going to poo-poo all over Ben Simmons, especially because of the money he's stolen over his career and the whole less than want to that I've seen.
I mean, Chandler Parsons was doing this too, though. Like, the argument is who's the bigger swindler, not like are the, both of these guys bums. Like, the answer is yes to that. I mean, Chandler Parsons fell off the earth once he turned 30.
But he also had, he had major knee surgery.
Yeah, you're not saying the Ben Simmons injury is worthy.
I don't think it is.
I mean, if he plays for seven more years and is averaging 7-5-5, I think that's better than Chandler.
I think the biggest point of that, Jeremy, is his contract's coming up and he's not going to get anything close to what he's been making. And then we really, truly can say there's value in that 6-6-6 or whatever he gives you.
Yeah, I think the time's still out there. As of now, I would lean your side, but I think Ben Simmons can change that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pena, you're in the high. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I got two questions for you. So how far into the season is it going to be till Jose Altuve runs into a wall in the outfield? And for my second question is, what is y'all's pet peeve at the dinner table regarding your wife, kids, or whoever? Thank you. Have a great day.
What was the second one?
Pet peeve at the dinner table.
Yeah, from
your
wives or kids or whoever.
The easiest one on the second one is my pet peeve at the dinner table is we're not doing iPads. We're not doing phones. We're not doing, like, I was raised in a household where dinner time with the family is dinner time with the family. And we don't need, especially at a restaurant, that drives me even crazier. But that's also for us. Like, when we're sitting down as a family, mom and dad don't need the phones and the kids don't need the iPads. And we can have some conversation and I just hate that. So I'll start there.
Yeah, we don't use that stuff either. So I guess that would be one of mine. I can't think of any off the top of my head. Like, we usually sit down and eat. And
anybody a
maybe
smacker?
If they're messy, maybe if anybody's a smacker, it's me.
Yeah, okay. Smacking's annoying. I guess it depends on where the dinner's at. Like, if you were out to eat somewhere, like, let's say it's not at home, I would say being rude to the waiters near the top of my list.
Yeah, we don't do that here. I can't think of any. Maybe if somebody, like, spills a bunch of food or whatever.
Yeah, but that's an accident. That's
not... wife doesn't do the dishes. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? No, I'm just kidding. I usually do the dishes. I think Altuve will run into the wall. Yeah, I do. And we it's a healthy rotation.
2 weeks in.
I was going to say, like, that weekend.
I thought about it. I thought about, like,
he's already done it in spring training.
Yeah,
so.
I saw it yesterday. I think it'll be 2 weeks in.
That wasn't a running into the wall.
Kind of.
He touched it.
Kind of.
Wasn't running into the wall. Keith from L.A., you're on a six-hour road trip, and you can only listen to one thing, either one podcast or one artist. What are you listening to?
6 hours with one artist? Even on a podcast? Dang, that's tough. I'm going to go, man, I don't know.
You're struggling here.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, it's an easy answer for me.
Go. I've got a couple. Yeah, go ahead, Jeremy.
I mean, I'm pulling up the Killer Bee podcast and listening to our show. I think it's a good way to A, learn. I think it's B, entertaining. C, I think it's just great radio. So I'd listen to the Killer Bees for 6 hours straight. That's only two shows. You know?
That's
true. Not hard at all. Or Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald.
Yeah, I would go Small Town Murder or give me the Black Keys. I've got enough songs to get through a road trip with them.
If I had to pick an artist, it depends on who I'm on the road with. If I'm solo, I'm going Johnny Cash, without a doubt. Without a doubt. You get all the emotions with Johnny Cash over 6 hours.
I think I'm probably going to the Purple Man.
Okay. That's not a bad answer.
No.
Not a bad answer. 713-780-ESPN. What do you think about ESPN 97.5 going Hollywood after seeing Granados last night? I like LA. LA's fine. I visited LA in December. I enjoyed my time there. It'd be a hard place for me to live, though. So much traffic. That would annoy me. But I enjoyed my time there. I wouldn't mind spending some more time in LA.
Is that the legit question? Like, would we...
What do you think about 97.5 going Hollywood? Like...
Oh, I thought it was like, what are your reaction to John being at the Oscars?
I mean, what is your reaction? It's cool. Like,
I mean, look,
not much question there.
Anybody ever gets a chance to do that? Yeah, that's amazing. I had the chance several years ago.
Oh, I see what this is.
To move to LA, and I'm with you. Like, the traffic would have driven me absolutely bonkers. The weather's fantastic. the prices of everything are ridiculously high, but the traffic alone is a huge no.
Yeah, I don't know the traffic. Not a big traffic guy. 713-780-ESPN. Do y'all actually like each other? As 2239.
No, not at all.
I think like is a good word.
I think is the best word.
I love Blankers and Brian. I can separate church from state. I love these guys.
Joel first, me second, as we've established in the past.
Yeah, which is accurate. He's talent, you're not. I have a talent bias. I've never made that a secret.
Probably also because Joel parks better, in your opinion.
Oh, there's no doubt. I've never seen you park straight in your life.
That's
like,
not true.
You might be within the lines, but you're always at an angle. You're never.
That is not
you
true.
You are never in a parallel line with the parking stripes.
I think you're overrating how often people are completely perfectly parallel.
You're not. It's embarrassing, really. Does Cam Smith make the opening day roster? And if you were the GM, would he make it?
Opening day, probably not, but I think he's on the fast track. I think that what you're seeing is all going to be dependent upon what we're not seeing out of the outfielders that are going to make it. I'm not expecting anything out of Jake, and I'm really, really questioning what we're going to see out of Chaz. But if those guys are what they've been even last year, and Cam continues to do what he's doing, I think it's going to be a pretty quick trip before he gets to the big leagues.
I would not have him on the big league roster. I would wait until about July, best case scenario, because I'm trying to buy the extra year of service time. Oh, you're a service time manipulator, Brian. You're darn right. I want Cam Smith here an extra year.
I would have a little bit of motivation to get him up before July, Joe, just because of the Joe.
Who's that?
I said July, though. Sorry, kind of it might have slurred together. But I would have. I mean, I definitely wouldn't have him up day one. I don't think that's realistic. But I think I'd be motivated to get him up a little bit before that, just because of the new rules. Where if someone, especially if you think he's capable of doing it, obviously, if you don't, then this is really a non-starter. Yeah, but the new rules as far as getting like extra draft pick compensation if a guy wins Rookie of the Year.
Now, well, you better have him up opening day then.
I don't think you have to have him opening day. I would say May 1 you'd have to have him up by, but I don't think it has to be opening day.
You need to have him up pretty quick.
Yeah, definitely by May 1.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about that. I'd rather have Cam Smith an extra year than to get an extra draft pick.
I understand that. I just think that I'm so leery of what's going on in the outfield this year that if he proves like if he looks the part and is the part, then I'm going to need him.
Texture, what will y'all miss about Joe the most? Joe's not going anywhere. He's just not going to be on the radio show. Still be employed. So I'm not going to miss Joe. Joe's probably going to do more radio with us than he has currently. He's going to be filling in and stuff like that.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah.
Which outfield trio has the weaker arm? Myers, McCormick. Okay. You phrased it funny here, Ocho. Which outfielder has the weaker arm? Jake, Chaz, or Altuve?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say – I know where you're probably leaning. I'm going to say Jake.
I'll go Chaz.
I'll go Altuve.
Yeah. Altuve's arm looked kind of strong the other day. We'll talk about that
just
in a little
bit.
Just
not accurate.
Hopped it, yeah.
713-780-ESPN. I'd rather you hop it than airmail it. Joel Blank, known Johnny Cash hater, says a texter.
Not true. Not even close. And that,
Joel Blank, man.
Tell me you don't know me without telling me you don't know me.
Cool. Good usage of that. That was well done.
Thanks.
In a wheelchair for the rest of your life with $10 million or fully healthy, but you make $50K a year for the rest of your life, which one are you taking?
I'm going to take fully healthy in the $50K.
How many million? You say five?
Ten.
$10 million.
Ten?
I'm going to go $10 million. I'm good with a wheelchair. Like, I don't need...
I don't want to be in need of someone else's assistance, though.
You're in a wheelchair.
Life.
You're not. That is not assistance.
Yeah, you can't get upstairs. Like if your house isn't equipped for it, well, I guess you could equip it with the $10 million. But there goes a lot of your money re-outfitting your house.
I don't think it's going to take much to build a ramp.
You have you've costed that before.
I know how to build. I know the price of lumber.
You can't build a ramp.
Absolutely, I could build a ramp with the assistance from my dad and my father-in-law.
There it is. All right, nail that one. Nail it, get it built.
But I mean, a ramp was only going to cost you a couple grand tops.
Yeah, but you're talking about a ramp on the outside. I'm talking about the inside of the home. It'd take a lot more than just a ramp to refit your house.
A one-story house.
Okay, well, not everyone does have a one-story house.
$10 million, you can buy one.
But you can't move from the waist down.
Yeah, I
there's different. Well, I mean, that's kind of, yeah. I don't need the waist down.
You okay. sure about
I need
that?
The waist
okay.
down.
You sure about that?
I'm sure. I'll give me the $10 million. This is a selfless move. You are selfish because $10 million means my wife gets a better life. It means my two boys get a better life. This is a selfless move, and I don't think I'm sacrificing that much for the benefit
just
of
half
milk.
Of your body.
Yeah, I'll take half the body for the benefit of my family, no doubt.
No, I go 50K in my actual body.
Okay, they're selfish. I'm the only one that cares about my family.
Okay.
How do you think your spouse would answer that question?
Depends on when you ask
her. Oh, for me or for her?
Both of y'all.
Yeah, that's
y'all.
Different.
Like, if you ask Mrs. Blank and you ask Mrs. McDonald, how are they answering that question?
I think she's answering it that we take the 50K and have my health because she stresses every day how important it is that I'm healthy for the girls.
Yeah, I don't think my wife wants to do the like physical things around the house as far like yard upkeep and moving heavy
objects.
$10 million.
You can pay somebody $40 a month. I'll do it for $40 a month or $40 every other
week.
A month might be
too much. I know, but that's not the only thing. No, I think she would take me fully healthy.
Brian, I think you're overrating your bottom half.
That's the first time that sentence has ever been uttered.
Oh, God.
That's what you think. You think it's the first time that sentence has ever been muttered. Maybe not. Maybe it's not the first time that sentence has been muttered. Has anyone watched the Unrivaled League?
I don't even know what that is.
What is that? Oh, that's the basketball
league?
It's three-on-three
women's basketball.
Yeah, no, I haven't even come close. No.
Hashtag not an ally.
Yeah, I've not watched that either. I saw it on the TV listing. See, I was reading the paper digitally, of course, and I saw that it was listed on TNT, Unrivaled. I was like, what is Unrivaled? And it took me a second to realize what it was.
And then people are, like, tweeting and talking about, like, did you see this move or this? And I'm like, no, sure didn't, and have no interest in watching it.
Would you rather watch Unrivaled or just a regular season WNBA game between a couple of middle-of-the-pack teams?
Ugh.
I know.
Can I do neither?
I guess.
No, you can't.
I'd rather watch better players play 3-on-3 than middle of the pack, no-star
teams. I think that's my answer, too. No, these players are good, Brian. Like, these are the who's who.
Oh, is it?
See, players.
Okay, so these are players in the WNBA?
Asia Wilson and the Ansku.
Okay, well, then I'll take that, then.
Everybody but Caitlin, I think.
Yeah, Caitlin said no. Thanks, but no thanks. Hector Neris signed to a minor league contract. Did you want the Astros to do something like this?
I mean, for a minor league contract, I mean, he's had success here. I don't think he was awful last year. I would have done it.
Yeah, I think the Astros like their guys. I'm not losing any sleep about Hector Neris. He was pretty mid last year. I think the Astros handled the whole Hector Neris thing pretty well. Let him leave. Let somebody else pay him. Then they're disappointed with that contract. You bring him back, see if he's got anything left. He didn't really. I mean, I'm not losing sleep over a 4.10 ERA guy with very mid to below average savant numbers. So, I think they like their guys. I think that I know that they don't have a whole lot of resume, back of baseball card stuff, but I feel like Danner Brown likes the arms he has in this bullpen. Time will tell. Time will tell because he doesn't have baseball card, but I think they like their talent.
I think you're probably right from the standpoint of they believe they have guys that can fill the Neris role. For now, so they didn't do it. I mean, we don't know what Forrest Whitley's going to be if he really gets a true shot. We know what Ort was last year, and at times it was good. But I think that there's enough serviceable arms that they trust to start the season.
Yeah, Texter says just wheelchair bound or actually paralyzed. The question was just wheelchair bound, was not actually paralyzed. So it'd be like being
Abbott. Got a leg that doesn't work or something.
It'd be like being Governor Abbott.
I don't know that he has use of his everything below the waist.
But he's in a wheelchair. He moves around. He goes to games and stuff. Tweets.
Like, you could have a serious leg injury where you can still have bodily functions and such. You just can't walk.
I'm going wheelchair. I think my family would love me more for it, too.
Because yeah, you're sacrificing so that they can
push
you
in the corner and walk away.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
You can.
Wow.
Do you know how wheelchairs work? I don't think that you do. You grab the wheels and then you roll them around. And that's how you move around.
Forward or backwards? Got
it. You're not stuck whenever no one else is around. The second time you mentioned how much other people would have to help you. You can be independent in a wheelchair.
I know you can, but it's to a limit. You're not getting upstairs. That's the point.
Your family might take a running start.
I think it's pretty easy to eliminate stairs from your life.
Okay.
I do. And for $10 million, I'm down. Texter, who is the bigger jerk, the people bringing a baby to a non-kid wedding or the bride being mad about it?
I think it's... if you're the bride, you have every right to be mad, especially if you said it's a non-kid. I think it's the people bringing the baby to the wedding.
Yeah, I don't think it's even a question.
Yeah.
This was a Barstool one. You don't bring a kid to a non-kid wedding. There's a reason that it's a non-kid wedding.
And that's the biggest day of her life. You don't do that to her.
Yeah, that's a way bigger jerk there. Does a hole-in-one on a simulator count?
No.
Yeah, this is an easy no for me.
No, not even close.
I don't even think hole-in-ones in par three courses count.
See, I disagree with that. If it's a legit par three, if it's like these, you know, pitch and putt par threes where every hole is 100 yards or less, then no. But if it's a legit, like, 18-hole golf course and you get a hole-in-one on a par three, it absolutely counts.
I disagree completely. Because, like, you're playing nothing but par threes. You don't have the variety of pars that you're playing, par three, par four, par five. So you're sitting there just par three, par three, par three, par three. That's not.
But they all range in distance. You can have 175-yard par three and 125-yard.
Is it a par three still?
Yeah.
You just can't play a continuous stream of par threes. But like, oh, playing, I got a hole-in-one.
But you're hitting different clubs on those different holes.
Continuous stream of par threes. Not that different. Not that different. Like you said, the longest was what?
I said, I didn't say it was the longest.
You're
but
hitting
I said,
a low
you could
iron.
You could have a 175, which is probably, what, a 7-iron, 6-iron.
That's a flex.
And you could have, well, you've played with me. And you could have, like, a pitching wedge, a 125, 130.
Cool. Like, you're not bringing out a driver in your hand at any point while you're playing a par three course, and you're going to count that as a hole-in-one? No. Par three course, hole-in-one, absolutely not.
Disagree.
It should be an 18-hole course, and it should be the normal variety of holes. That's the only way a hole-in-one counts. Otherwise, I'm just going to go spam play these par threes to get my first ever hole-in-one.
Okay. No. Well, I mean, if that's the objective, it's supposed to be, you know, kind of honing in the skills of your game. And if you're playing a legitimately a good par three course that has everything from, like, two bills down to 125, you're playing enough clubs that I think it counts.
Yeah, we'll never agree on this one.
We won't.
Costco or Sam's?
I haven't been to either in a while, but I'd say Costco.
Where do you do your shopping? In bulk?
I don't need that much stuff in bulk.
Man, you don't like value, huh?
I just go to HEB.
Anti-value. I buy a lot of stuff in bulk. Buy my meat sticks in bulk. Buy hairspray in bulk. Buy laundry detergent in bulk. Napkins, toilet paper.
Yeah, but if you buy the big laundry detergent at HEB, they're almost similarly priced as what they're charging at Costco.
I think you get better value more times than not when you're buying in bulk at Costco or Sam's. You can find good deals, though. Like, I'm not saying that's 100% of the time. Sometimes I'll buy my eggs in bulk. Milk. Definitely milk in bulk. Oh, Random baby goes through so much milk.
I bet. Yeah, we don't have that.
He drinks so much milk. We need to wean him off of milk, actually. It's becoming quite a bit. I'm more of a Costco guy, but that's just because where I have a membership at. I would do Sam's. I have no problem with Sam's.
Yeah, I mean, look, both of them are fine, and we used to have memberships to both, and we have a Costco closest to us, and we've been a member. I think it expired like a year ago, but I don't think you get as much out of it as you used to get.
Okay, I'll disagree on that one as well. Which actors would play ESPN 97.5 characters? In honor of the Oscars, obviously. So which actors would play ESPN 97.5 characters if it were a movie? 713-780-3776. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.